Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us today two of the Anderson members of Anderson Griggs Portfolio Management, Anderson Griggs Investments, whatever you want to call it, all in downtown Rock Hill. Justin Anderson, the president. And I'm not quite sure how you refer to this guy.
Absent.
That's pretty good, huh?
He gets in when we need him to.
That's right. I come in if I'm not, and Libby's already told me I got to come in and do training next year to meet regulatory requirements. So I am going to do that.
She actually handed him this morning. So.
Yep.
But he is on the payroll still, so he comes in when I tell him to.
Right? Ooh. How does it feel to have your son issuing orders to you?
He's the only boss I've ever had other than his mother. And she's bossed me her whole life. And so Libby, you know, the daughter there, she grew up bossing me around. So, I mean, it's no big deal. I'm used to it by now.
She did it quite easily. She came in the office when Dad was in there, and we were talking this morning. And she said, I need you to come in and do our training, this year, annual training. So can you do it today after the show? He said, no. Well, she says, can you make it tomorrow? She's very stern.
I said, no. I said, it'll be next week in the morning. It is a different feeling, though. You know, Manny, you've self-employed your whole life, too, or close to all of it.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, being an employee is something that's pretty rough.
We could do a whole show on just the transition from one generation to the next, but we're not going to do that.
It has taken 15 years, so it'll be a long show.
Well, I want you to take just a minute, Kendall, and give the background of the company, and then we'll roll into where you are right now, and then we'll start talking about what the heck's been going on with the stock market.
Came to Rock Hill in 1982, and I actually opened up KJ Anderson & Company in 1988. And over the years, brought in a partner and did some other things around the country. And then Justin, I guess when was it?
2005.
2005, decided he would like to work with us. And a couple years later, I asked him if he wanted to be a long-term worker here or just what he's doing. He says, well, he kind of likes that place, so the only way that would work is if I bought out my partner, which was Randy Griggs, Anderson Griggs.
Right.
And that started Justin on the long road, which we put into place, 12, 13 years ago, just
right.
about, where started accumulating stock in the company every year, percentage of it.
Right.
Went through more and more responsibilities, and then this year he actually became the majority shareholder of Anderson Griggs. And that's when I turned into an employee.
And you became absent.
I became absent. took about 3 days, but.
Well, and this profession that you're in is experience is everything.
Yes.
Absolutely everything. You can learn some of it out of a textbook, but you got to live through it to understand how you do what you do.
You know, there is minimum basic requirements for people. They have to. Pass an exam to be able to talk to people individually, but it's like every exam. You know, anybody's been to college, you can graduate from college and have passed hundreds of exams and walk in to do a job, and all of a sudden you're lost. And of course, in our case, since most of the work we do is based on our expectations of tomorrow, because every day is a new day, that's hard to do too, because there's nothing set in stone. Things change too quickly.
So you developed your own way of doing what you do. Mm-hmm. You're advising your clients. And when we talk about Anderson Griggs Portfolio Management, Justin, right. What the heck does that really mean?
I mean, so, if you look at your savings, your accounts, you have all these different ideas of, you have a brokerage account, you have an IRA account, a 401k account, you have your savings. But basically it is, if you set aside savings that you have and you're not using them now and you want to save them for the future, but you also want to grow those savings, right? So we come up with the idea of investing, right? And that's what everyone kind of turns to. And you hear people say, you know, part of their budget, all right, this time in our annual budget, we're going to put a little money aside and invest it for the future. Well, what our clients do to us is they come and they hire us to take on that function. So we're a discretionary money manager. They assign those savings over that they have marked for investment, and then we take on that role and we invest their funds, their portfolio, and it accounts for the savings they have that we take care of directly, but we also look at the savings that they have outside because it's all part of their portfolio, their investment portfolio.
You've used this slogan for a long time, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that really mean?
Well, common sense is pretty straightforward and simple. Yeah. You know, even though it's something that no one agrees on.
Especially but, you know, in the political world we live
right.
in today.
You know, the old saying, well, the higher returns, you have to take higher risk. There's truth to that. But common sense at the same time says higher risk means there's a higher risk of loss just as well as there's a higher risk of gain. Intelligence just has to do with a great deal of study based on history, based on psychology. You know, and we quantitatively apply that, meaning we evaluate individual businesses as if we're going to buy the entire business. And through the common stock market, you can buy a little sliver of that, but you're still an owner of the business, and you approach it that way. You know, so the intelligence is the design of the portfolio, how all the pieces work together. The management of it is making those decisions on your behalf of when to buy, what to buy, same time when to sell, and what to sell, and try to do that in a complete fashion to meet the goals that you have, whether that is to increase your capital or to create income to spend, or whether to preserve it, whether to pass it on to your heirs in certain forms. So it takes on various roles depending on the individual client themselves.
So everybody's different. Everybody mm-hmm. has different goals. People who are in their 30s and 40s are thinking about, okay, how am I going to pay for college education? How am I going to buy that second home maybe?
Mm-hmm.
People who are in their 70s and 80s are saying, I think I've saved long enough. I want to go spend some of this and have some fun and maybe leave a trinket
or two
for the kids, right?
That's correct.
That's right.
And that's how we're going to manage those portfolios differently. It's based on those goals. It's based on where you're at in life. And just generally speaking and common sense-wise, we'll bring that out. The earlier you start doing that, the better it's going to be. So I don't care if you're 25 years old and it's your first job right now. If they have a 401k, you start contributing. If they don't, you find a way in your budget to start putting a little bit aside because you've got a long life ahead of you and you're going to need a lot of savings.
I remember, Kendall, one time you were on this show, and I really about fell out of my chair when you threw out a statistic that the average person doesn't have enough money in their savings account to pay for an emergency, like the car just blew up and I got to spend $1,000 on it, or the washer and dryer went out. And I mean, that is a staggering statistic.
There is still truth to that, and even more so. We need to see that to save our society, it seems we have to send everybody a $600 check. And there's a lot of truth to that, too, because there's a great portion of our society that have been hurt dramatically over the last year. I don't know what statistics are now, Justin, maybe you know, but the number of people that have failed to pay rent for months, it's just difficult. And we're sitting in Charlie's restaurant, and he's one of the few that are continuing to go day to day because there's been thousands of those businesses shut down completely. Mm-hmm. It's a tough time right now for people. So even though in the good times, people couldn't afford it, there's probably a lot more of American citizens today that can't. And it is a shame. It is a shame. But
when we look at the segment of the population as a whole, savings rates have actually gone up this year. All right. And so the long-term average is about 7.5%. And right now we're sitting at about 13% of personal savings rate. However, obviously, just like everything else that we've seen this past year, it's very polarized. And those people that have been hurt the most are still extremely in bad shape. But a lot of where that savings has come from, though, if you thought about it, is people can't do anything. So if you're stuck at home, you save money because you're not out and about spending it and going to the movies and things like that. But at the same time, it's still very bad, and those statistics still kind of hold through. You know, average Social Security check now is about $1,500 after the last COLA adjustment, and there's still a huge percentage of the population. That's what they have every month. That's what their income is.
So as you point out, the whole idea is to start putting money away from day one.
That's right.
$10 here, $20 there, $100 there. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how that can grow and into a nice little nest egg if you discipline yourself to do this year after year after year.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
It is. For young people, they should save. You know, our clients have already gone through that. It'd take a little bit more money for us to actually apply what we know to manage their affairs. But to get there is still surprising to most people. But most people have got there that very same way you just talked about. They started saving young. They've had some good things happen to them over time. They've gotten job increases, but they increase their savings with that.
That's right.
And through the wonders of compounding, you know, they have turned out to do very well in life.
You all spend a great deal of time, when I pop up into your office from time to time, reading. You're always reading. And you're doing this for the purpose of?
So you have to stay on top of everything, right? This is all events. So what we're doing is, I mean, if you think about it, we're in the business of, you know, investing money. All of this is based on people. So obviously the economy, we have different sectors of the economy and things like this. But as far as what people are going to do with their money, they're going to buy, they're going to sell, things like that. You know, they get their information from the TV. They get their information from the experts on TV, from all the experts out there. And if you limit yourself to your own single ideas, what you're going to do is you put yourself in a box and you're not going to be able to grow. You're not going to be able to change. So basically we have to broaden our horizons and just kind of see what everyone else out there is thinking. We need to see how everyone else out there is spending their money, how they're placing their money, what portions of the economy people think are going to go up. That's all hones down into how I'm going to make my own decisions. And that doesn't mean you just follow suit and everything, but you have to know what everyone else is thinking. And you have to be different. So you got to know what people are thinking, and you have to be different. That's the only way you're going to be able to outperform in the long run.
And just remember, it's funny we're doing this show today because I had Dr. Scott Oliver on the radio today, and he's talking about a patient that he had that just wouldn't pay any attention to what he was telling him. In fact, he was the third doctor who had told him the exact same thing.
Right.
The patient went to the fourth doctor and ignored that fourth doctor to the point that that doctor said, I'm not going to mess with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people do this day in and day out, they know what they're talking about. And as Scott pointed out in his case, you know, Google is a wonderful thing, but you can't get the answers for what you're trying to do in a specialty area like finance or medicine or what have you off of Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you run into this, don't you?
So it's, you know, people almost have an embarrassment when they come in because they don't know how to do my job that I have been doing nonstop for 15 years. They don't know how to do Dad's job that he's been doing for over 40 years. It's a full-time thing, and you have to stay on top of things 100%. You know, whether it's the, you know, just the newest investments out there, the things to avoid, whether it's the new rules, the regulations, it's a full-time job. No one studies this stuff and knew how to do it, but everyone feels, but they know money is important, savings are important, and how you treat those savings are important. So, yeah, people that get on the internet and Google, you're just going to get turned around if you try to do this just on all right, it's time to look at my investments this year. Well, let's look up there in 10 minutes and try to figure out how IRAs work, what all the rules are, things like that. So, I mean, we do see a lot of it, but I want everyone to understand that, you know, this is it's a full-time deal. If you don't do it full-time, you should not be embarrassed that you don't understand, and that's what the point of what the role that we fill is. I mean, it's important to get some help.
And I always like to point this out. To use your words, Kendall, we eat our own cooking, which means you're right in the pool with everybody else.
Absolutely.
You're investing your own money the way you're asking, suggesting your clients do.
That's right.
And, of course, that means that we're probably not right for everybody, you know, which because there are people out there that just aren't going to agree with the approach we have, which is very conservative. Quality is absolutely important to us. Income is important to us. And I wouldn't feel comfortable, even though, you know, it's a disclosure and it is a conflict of interest for your portfolio manager to own, you know, the same things that are in your own portfolio in some respect. But, you know, there's also, I think, some comfort coming in that to our clients, too, knowing that we're putting ourselves on the line and our returns are going to be similar to theirs. You know, because some of the weightings will be different, some of the allocation will be different. But if we think a company is worth owning for the long run, why would I just let you have it?
That's right.
Why couldn't I have it too?
And with Anderson Griggs, there isn't any middleman. You are the middleman.
That's right.
I mean, you make all your own decisions here.
Absolutely.
You're not a street corner working for a larger operation.
Nope. We're not selling other people's ideas. You know, we're creating our own. Which is, I think, only appropriate, is that it takes a large amount of research, and of course that takes a lot of time on our behalf, but that's what we're paid to do. No.
Okay, so this has been one heck of a year. I'm using the word heck because I can't use the double L word, but it has been one heck of a year. And the stock market is, I mean, who would have ever thought that we'd be sitting here at this table and the stock market would be over 30,000 points when just, I don't know how many years ago, we saw the market tank down to the 6,000 or 7,000 level.
That's right.
I find it unbelievable. The economy is flourishing, yet we're in the midst of this pandemic. Does that defy logic or what?
I tell you what, it's you know, me and Dad were just talking about this because, you know, because he's left things to me, right? And I just told him, I said, he picked a good year to leave because it has been one of the strangest one in history, and I think he would even agree with that. Things have just been very, very strange, very weird. You know, on the radio show, the other radio show, I talked about this was a very hard year to learn how to invest. For all the new retail investors out there, people out there decide, hey, I'm just going to decide to, I'm going to buy a stock today. You know, maybe you picked the wrong one, but there's so many of them out there that have just outperformed by a ton. I mean, and the outperformance is just completely unorthodox. It's just not normal at all. So Tesla being up 600 and something percent. Don't think because you picked Tesla and you're up 600% that you know how to do this on an ongoing basis. There's a lot of these positions and a lot of these things that have happened this year that I think it's, you know, conservative investing, which we preach. I think it's time to look at those things, and you might want to just think about it. They can continue to go up. It could. There's a lot of young people out there that are in their Robinhood accounts and continuing to buy Tesla, and that could happen for a while. But it's just been a very, very, very strange year for the polarized, like everything else. We have huge losses. We have huge gains. And as you said, year to date, the Dow's up about close to 7%. The S&P's up 15%. And back in March, things have been down. They dropped 30% in a very short amount of time. So.
But what I, you know, the market actually since 2000 through today, you know, has had a compounded return of about 5%,
that's right,
which is less than average. And of course, during that time period, we've had the tech bubble, you know, the great financial crisis, COVID, and so, you know, the current level of 30,000 on the Dow is not really extraordinary. It seems like it, because we were when President Obama came in, we had the crash in that period in 2009, and the Dow was at 6,700, so it's come way, way up. But, you know, a lot of people, from the time I started in this business, I was always told every day by somebody that this is a gamble, you're going to lose everything, it's a big risk. And, of course, the Dow was at 780. Now, if I listened to them, I wouldn't be retired now. There's no way. I'd be down to the radio station begging for a job. You know, things, as time goes by, great businesses come, some great businesses fail, but owning directly ownership in an operating business that creates positive cash flow and profits and reinvest those profits will benefit the owners directly. And when you look at common stocks, and which Justin learned early on, we do look at it as ownership in that business. And just like you've operated your business for many years and I've operated mine for many years, we don't buy an interest in the business to trade it out and sell it 3 months later.
Right.
We want to buy something at the right price, hold on to it, let it do its job. And if it comes to a time when everybody is crazy and they're paying way too much to the business, well, we're surely going to either sell them part of it, you know, which is taking a little bit off the top of our current ownership, or if it's really out of whack, we'll sell the whole thing.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things that you guys have always said is if you believe in America and the capitalistic system, we're going to be okay. We're going to zigzag in this market going up and down, but we're going to do okay because capitalism works and the other economies just don't work.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are disagreeing with that right now, Manning, but it's the truth. If we look around the world, you know, without personal incentive to better yourself, you know, if that's retained, well, then people will seek out a way to better themselves, and we can participate in that, especially through the common stock market.
All right, so I got to ask you this question. I know it sounds political, but we know what happened when the current president went into office. He changed everything as far as corporate America. The market has surged, done very, very well. Now we have a new administration coming in that is pretty much saying, we don't think we're going to do exactly what we've been doing the last 4 years. You, Justin, have said on Intelligent Investing every week on WRHI that the history will show that the market will do okay under a Democratic administration or a Republican administration.
That's correct.
Is that true?
It is. It's true. And it's just, I mean, if you look at the long history of capitalism in America, we've seen any number of Republicans. We've seen any number of Democrats. It doesn't matter who's in the House and the Senate. And it's just based on that simple idea that Kendall just brought up. This is capitalism. Look, if taxes get raised, it's not that fun. It's not fun for individuals. It's not fun for corporations. But what are they going to do? They're going to find a way to increase their profits, however that's going to happen. So they'll stop spending money here. They'll start spending money on a new venture. Maybe they push prices through to consumers, to the people using their services, but they're going to find a way to make that profit and continue to grow that profit. And that's what us as individuals in the company demand. So, you know, it doesn't matter who's in office, it doesn't matter who that is. Capitalism is going to find a way to create profits regardless of all the things that are put on. I mean, if you think about it, if, you know, the taxes were what, in the 70s, what were we at? 60s and up to...
Well, that was a 70% personal income tax, the top rate, so...
And it wasn't the end of America, and it wasn't the end of business.
That was not the high. I think it's at one point in time, it may have been closer to
90%. Yeah, for the in America.
Marginal tax rate.
And we're here now, what, 32 or 33 or so?
Well, it's at less than that. It's 20% on maximum capital gains rate is 20%. Maximum dividend rate is 20%. And, you know, if you make... What is it? More than $500,000 a year, you might be up in as high as 37%. I think it was 39 prior to that. So, but that's marginal on that top tier, and which very few people, you know, taxes in this country, half people pay nothing.
And that's right.
We know federal income tax now. I get a lot of complaints over that because they pay Social Security and state and property tax and everything else. When I'm talking about the federal income tax system, is skewed to where 90% of the money probably comes from the top 10% in the country.
So. Sure does. And with that, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. And anybody who's anybody knows how that's done. So at the count of three, we're all going to say it together now. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit Relax, joinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Introducing the new Stream TV. from Comporia. Stream TV is cutting-edge entertainment that fits the way you live today. Watch your favorite movies and shows anytime, anywhere. No set-top box required. Pause, restart, or replay live TV up to 3 days later. And carry a world of entertainment in your pocket with Cloud DVR. Stream TV is TV set free. No wires, no boxes. Learn more online at Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Justin and Kendall Anderson are with us from Anderson Griggs Investments in downtown Rock Hill. And, of course, I always save the best for last. We're now issuing at least $600 checks, possibly $2,000 checks, depending upon what the United States Senate does. And that adds another $460-some billion to the stimulus bill, which is now standing at, I don't know, over $1 trillion, 1.4, something like that. So we add that to the, whatever it is, $28 trillion we owe now. We're getting close to $30 trillion. Does this worry you all at all about this money? I mean, we can't even count to a trillion. You can't count to a billion.
No.
You don't worry about it.
Well, you know, I worry about it. I worry about it for a number of reasons. That doesn't mean my worry is worth the opinion that I just stated. So, you know, like we just said, you know, as long as somebody will lend us the money, you know, we can issue debt. And all else fails, well, the Federal Reserve prints the money and we can issue even more debt. You know, and ultimately, though, I think that's bad for the long-term nature of society. With 0% interest rates or 1% interest rates, it, you know, I guess it's a, if you borrow, it's better than doing it at 10%. So
that's right.
I'm disappointed, but I've talked about debt for a long time. It's had no impact on most people's lives and had very little impact on the common stock market either. There ultimately, we'll probably get to a point where it will. The guide we have is Japan. You know.
That's right.
Explain. What do you mean by Japan?
Go ahead, Justin. Well, any money that the government spends comes from us, either through taxes or from borrowing, correct? Right. And eventually, you know, the bill has to get paid. So what we're doing is borrowing from the future. That's what we're doing. So, we worry about our kids and our grandkids with this money that continues to get larger and larger. Right now, the cost of that debt is running about 1.7% of GDP. Of our current, even with the GDP's depressed where it's at right now. Back in the 80s and the 90s, the cost of that debt, the interest payments that we had to pay on all that borrowing was 3%. So we're actually half of the cost of what it was in the 80s and the 90s. But as Dad was saying, you know, Japan has been doing this now for 30 years. Now you look at their stock market, it took 30 years for their stock market to catch up. But they have been running these huge levels of borrowing to GDP. They've been doing it for 30 years now, and obviously it hasn't bankrupted the country. The country's been able to, it has the third biggest economy in the world still. But it's not a way that any of us feel comfortable going, and I hope we get some people in place that can make some hard decisions to say, hey, we need to cut back on the borrowing.
Well, I haven't seen any Republicans or Democrats who are willing to do that. I mean, even with Trump in there, the big capitalist, my God, he spent as much money as any Democrat ever did. That's amazing.
Well, they did. The difference, I think, between the one of the things that were concerned with us during the last Democratic, was that the basic attitude towards business was that all businesses are out to take advantage of people. Trump changed that. I hope Biden and his group continues to believe that private enterprise is good.
Justin and Kendall Anderson, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you do. And again, Anderson Griggs Investments brings you a weekly summary of all this every Tuesday morning, Tuesday throughout the day on WRHI. It's called Intelligent Investing. It's 2 minutes of your time. And if you miss it, go to WRHI.com or go to AndersonGriggs.com. It's right there for you to listen to. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk show presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it, guys? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.